This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who came to purify the hearts and minds of mankind. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as one being, wa yuzakkihim, he purifies them, takes them out by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati lan-nur, takes them out from the realms of darknesses to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nur of iman, is a light of iman. The opposite, the darknesses, are the darknesses of dhulumat, of kufr, of disbelief. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the opposites in all things. Wa min kulli shay'in khalaqna zawjayni لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Everything has been created in opposites that you may begin to reflect and remember and ponder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with a wisdom that belongs to Him all alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed kufr upon this earth and likewise placed iman. One will overcome the other. Even though in general iman will always remain dominant and powerful, but at times kufr may become apparent on the face of this earth, or may become apparent or hidden inside the iman of the individual. Person needs to fight off the kufr within their own self, inside that vessel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside the human being, whereby the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha. Indeed, inside the body of the human being is a morsel of flesh, is a lump of flesh. If this lump of flesh becomes sound and good, then the whole of the body becomes good and wholesome. And if this piece of flesh becomes corrupt, indeed the whole body becomes corrupt. The whole life of the individual becomes corrupt. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Indeed, that is the heart. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, your children and your wealth will not avail you, except for a person who comes with a pure heart. And thus we find ulama of tazkiyah have mentioned that even external factors of our life, وَحَتَّى كَلَامَنَا, even the things that we utter and we speak, ulama of tazkiyah have mentioned this is only a reflection of the heart of the individual. When filth, corruption, vice, immorality, bad speech, al-fawahish disseminates from the mouth of the individual, ulama have mentioned that this becomes habitual and the normal speech of the individual. This is only a reflection of the heart of that individual, that our heart is corrupt. When the tongue is full of an-nama'im, full of slandering, ghiba, backbiting, cursing, a la'an, a shatam, reviling, it's only a reflection of the heart of that individual. So that's a person has to spend their life trying to polish, to purify their heart. But for some individuals that we find, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. When some individuals find ran, as ulama of tafsir have described, based upon the hadith in the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi, every time a person commits a sin, a rust, a blackening comes upon the heart of that individual. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, because of the sins that they've earned, the actions they carry out. Till eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals the heart of that individual and no guidance penetrates into that individual. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجْلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not placed two hearts in the chest of the human being. This is an ayah that we find in the beginning of Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, which is a side point. You find numerous ayat inside there talking about indirectly the state of the heart, the hypocrites of iman, of kufr, of iman, of devotion, of perseverance. These are all ayat that we find inside, in general, the theme inside Surah Al-Ahzab. Then you find the fine role model to find who is the one who refined himself in all ways is none other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا. For you to emulate him inside your life is the best role model, is the best emulation to seek the life and the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. How he spent these odd 23 odd years of trying to purify his society, that thousands of years later that we find, 1400 years later that we find, his effects are still there. His sunnah is still there. And once again, inside the beginning of Surah Al-Ahzab that we find, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is more closer to the believers than their own selves. This is the qudwa, the example we need to live inside our lives. That some of us, we shy away from following his life. He was the best individual. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We not send you except for mercy to mankind. Whatever he commanded us to do, whatever he encouraged us to do inside our lives, whatever he told us to abstain from, to stay away from, is nothing but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever he speaks is nothing but divine intervention, is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he makes something halal, it's not from his own whims and desires. وَلَمَّا يُحَرِّمُ عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. When he makes haram upon this Muslim ummah, it's not from his own whims and desires. It's all revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the mind and the life of the human being is restricted. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is good for the human being. What will make the individual to become linguistically an ideal individual, a peaceful individual. People are searching for peace, for tranquility. They fail to understand that the Quran delivers the message of peace and tranquility, gives that contentment. And as the Quran it mentions, those people who believe and their hearts become content with the dhikr of Allah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, in the dhikr of Allah, do hearts find peace and tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed inside this heart, one will overcome the other. Either iman or kufr. Either sawtu rahman or sawtu shaytan. Either the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the opposite of that is going to be the voice of the devil. The overcoming of the devil which take the individual away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you find there is only Hizbullah or Hizbul Shaytan. Person needs to decide which party they belong to, which actions they want to follow inside their life. They cannot keep, as they say, their legs inside both boats, try to enjoy elements of this dunya. A Muslim needs to sacrifice what they claim to be enjoyments of this dunya for a higher spiritual level, for a level of devotion, commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have not left anything unexplained inside this book. Because sometimes some modern day Muslims begin to think the Quran doesn't discuss the problems that we face on a daily basis. The Quran has not left out any obstacle that we face except for it discusses it. Likewise, the Quran mentions تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. This is a cure, a medicine, an explanation of every single thing, whatever inside our lives in general which is harmful out there or beneficial has been discussed inside the Quran, either directly or indirectly. The Quran will begin to explain of those things that we need to adapt inside our life, or those things that we need to stay away from inside our lives.
so that we find that his people begin to mention that this life is food, nourishment for the soul. That what we're going to discuss is nourishment for the soul, food for the soul. This that we find is false, because ulama of tazkiyah have mentioned that there may be some partial element of truth about what is food for the soul. We find al-insan has been made from two elements, from a teen, from the clay that we find, the mud that we find, and you find the soul, the spiritual soul of the individual. When a person turns to what they claim to be food for the soul, it is only the beastly nature of this earth. That's when a person listens to these sounds, even animals, they begin to respond. They think it's nourishment for the soul. The real nourishment for the soul is the spirituality, is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These words drive a person away, drift a person away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned that this voice or this sound, it begins to create, sprouts hypocrisy inside the heart of the individual, just like water begins to make plants, to begin, helps them to grow by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is sawtu shaitan. The voice of shaitan, it sprouts hypocrisy inside the heart of the individual. وَحَتَّى الْإِفَانِ Even the Quran, it praises, talks about الشُعْرَى. It talks about them, it begins to firstly defame them. That these shu'ara, these poets that we find, وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ In general, people begin to full of excessive praise of poetry. And these lines of prose that we find, in general, they make this excessive praise. وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ They say that which you don't carry out inside their lives. That's why it's been blamed in general, that we find poetry has been blamed, because people go beyond the excessive limits. That poetry which is allowed is one which is praiseworthy in its right meaning. That's even the Prophet ﷺ, he rebuked people around him who began to give excessive praise or say, you are a messenger who knows what's going to take place tomorrow. He rebuked them. He rebuked the people around him, teach them a lesson. Do not go beyond the limitations. Likewise, we find Imam Ahmad mentioned about this salt of shaitan that we find. It sprouts hypocrisy in the heart as well. It is a people of fisq wal fujur, because this leads to ma'asi, leads to disobedience, leads to rebellion, leads to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lewdness and disobedience inside the society. Likewise, don't be surprised, it even leads to warfare, which has taken place via the use of the salt of shaitan that we find. Even non-Muslims have concluded that via the use of the voice of the devil, we're going to discuss what is the voice of the devil, it corrupts the mental capacity of an individual. There are various avenues for a person to be receptive inside their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created various faculties for a person to use inside their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ability of a sam, of hearing, of al-basr, of seeing, of hearing, feelings inside the hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us all about these faculties. Ulama have mentioned previously, which is something medically has been proven today, the channel of sounds which enter into the hearing capacity of the human being, it goes quickly into the heart of the individual. The sight has a different effect. Person can close their eyes and not visualize something, cannot dream anything. Their eyes are shut. But the two, medically has been proven that the right ear picks out the sound, the melodious tone of the individual who may be using their voice. The left ear, it picks up the rhythms of whatever music may be playing. Together they enter into the brain, and together they enter into the heart of the individual. Thus you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before this inside the Quran, talks about the controlling of one's faculties, and in specific the controlling of one's hearing, what a person hears, because it goes directly into the heart, the chest of the individual, and begins to corrupt the individual. And thus we find that sawtu shaitan, that I'm sure most of you understand now, sawtu shaitan is nothing but music and singing. That is the voice of a shaitan that we find. And we want to go back and look at classical sources of the Quran and the Sunnah, because many times Muslims begin to try to find excuses. As we began with, the Quran and the Sunnah does not discuss this topic. This isn't going to detail about this topic. People want to look at the modern world, what people around them are doing. Go back to the sources of Quran and the Sunnah. وَعَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِمْ that we find in works of Tafasir that we find, the works of Imam al-Tabari, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari that we find, Jami' al-Ayah al-Quran wa ta'wiluha that we find in general, his famous Tafsir al-Quran, that he wrote Jami' al-Bayan, the explanation of verses of the Quran, which every single mufassir, حَتَّى يَوْمِنَ هَذَا every single mufassir, أَسَاسُهُ أَنْ يَرْجِعِ إِلَىٰ the tafsir of Imam Tabari, because his collection is a profound collection of all ulama of tafsir to this day. We'll go back to his works. How does he explain certain ayat inside the Quran? Likewise from Imam Qurtubi, the famous Spanish scholar that we find, highlights about certain ayat inside the Quran which talk about music and singing. And even in the modern day times that you find Imam Al-Alusi, Sahib Ruh Al-Ma'ani, famous Mufassir, another Spanish scholar that we find, begins to make compilation verses inside the Quran, proving how music and singing has been described inside the Quran as a corruption of the heart of the individual. And this shows ahmiyyah of ulum al-tafsir, ulum al-Quran. The importance of understanding the sciences of the Quran and understanding the verses of the Quran. Going back to classical works of tafsir, going back to companions. Not modern day individuals who make their own explanation, this verse means this, this verse means this. The Quran should be understood in this manner. This Quran has described everything which is going to be beneficial for the individual and that which is going to be harmful for the individual. Three general verses inside the Quran that we find, and some ulama have collected a fourth verse which proved the prohibition of music and singing from the Quran. These three verses that we find looking from Surah Al-Isra, and likewise that we find from Surah Al-Luqman that we find, and likewise the ayat inside Surah Al-Najm towards the end, and likewise Surah Al-Furqan. We're going to look at these four ayat broadly in detail, how ulama have described these verses of the Quran and the nature and the impact of these verses. The first verse that we find talking quite clearly about sawtu shaitan, the voice of a shaitan that we find inside Surah Al-Isra, the 17th chapter of the Quran, or what is also known as Surah Bani Israel. واستفزز من استطعت منهم بصوتك وأجلب عليهم بخيلك ورجلك وشاركهم في الأموال والأولاد وعدهم وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا. Incite these individuals, whoever you can from amongst these individuals, بصوتك, by the use of your voice, and muster them up via your cavalry, your troops, the army that you have, to take these individuals, وشاركهم في الأموال والأولاد, become a partner inside their wealth, inside their children, and give them false promises. And shaitan gives nothing less but false promises to people. Before we enter into this verse that we find, وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ, enter into them amongst their wealth and their children. Look at the entrance of shaitan. Shaitan enters from every single angle that we find, as mentioned inside Surah Al-A'raf, that he'll come from the right, he'll come from the left, he'll come from the front, he'll come from behind them. He'll come from every single angle to attack the individual. And most people you don't find to be grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will come in your children. What does it mean inside your children? The Prophet alayhi salatu salam described every single thing. Every single thing he described. Hatta we find matrimonial relationships. That's when a person enters upon their spouse. He begins in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma jannibi shaytan. Wa jannibi shaytan ma razaqtana. Oh Allah, prevent us, prevent the shaytan from entering from amongst us. And keep shaytan away, aloof from whatever you bestow upon us. Thus you find that sometimes the children, their behavior that we find, is massu shaytan, is a touching of shaytan. Because some people don't know that even to become intimate with one's partner, one's wife that we find, there are etiquettes that we find have been placed there that the Prophet ﷺ described to us that a person needs to carry out inside their life to protect themselves from the attacks of the shaitan. Well, ayyihal, returning back to bisawtik, going back via the use of his voice. He will use his voice to derail people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama, like Imam Mujahid, the famous student of Ibn Abbas. Imam Mujahid, he read the Quran, ayatan, read every single verse, verse by verse to Ibn Abbas, three times. Three times he read it. Not a recital, ayah, explanation of every single verse with Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas has been described as Turjamanul Quran, the one who's the most knowledgeable of the Quran. As the Prophet ﷺ prayed for him, Allahumma faqihu fi ddeen wa allimhu ta'wil. Give him fiqh fi ddeen and give him ta'wil. Ta'wil bi ma'na tafsirul Quran. This is Ibn Abbas. Imam Mujahid read the Quran verse by verse, three times to him. Imam Mujahid, wad-dahak, they both mentioned this bisawtik. The use of your voice is nothing less but using music and singing any type of lahab, of la'ib wa lahu, music or amusements that we find, frivolous play that we find, is all the works of the handiworks of the shaitan to derail people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, explaining this verse as well, who's been classified as tabibul qalb, who's been classified as the doctor of the heart, to purify the hearts of mankind. Everything which invites to sin, and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the voice of shaitan. And the top peak point of disobedience is nothing but music and singing that derails a person away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, shaitan has been using his method for centuries of music and singing and clapping that we find to take people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَتَّى لُغَةً, the word music in the English language goes back to muse, the Greek words or the Greek gods of inspiring, inspirational arts and practices inside their society is the return of music that we find. وَلَأَيِّحَالَ, that we find the Quran describes the people of Quraysh and the people before. وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً, their salah, their prayers outside the Kaaba, outside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was nothing but whistling and clapping. This is ibara on music and singing that we find. This is what their practice was of the people of Jahiliyyah. This was their salah. This is their praying. That's why you find even in Christianity, a great debate takes place amongst Orthodox Christians. How did music and singing enter into Christianity? Isa alayhi salam never practiced that. He never encouraged people. Today it's become a way of life for them. It's for them, it's spirituality, as we began with music and singing. نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَحَتَّى هُوَ عِبَادَةٍ عِنْدَهُمْ, it becomes worship for these individuals of singing and dancing and chanting the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should be warned about this, because we can see this creeping into our Muslim environment as well, that people are beginning to think that music and singing and chanting is a way of taqarrub ila Allah, is a form of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a form of ibadah, spiritual songs as they begin to call it, or alleviation. If it contains music, there's no, as we're going to touch, no difference of opinion about it. It's nothing but a deception of the devil derailing these individuals. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ that we find, looking towards the end of the ayat of Surah Al-Najm, the 53rd chapter of the Quran that we find. Once again, this surah, if you go back to look at the tafsir, this surah that we find, the impact of this surah, that you find at the end of this surah that we find Surah Al-Najm, the star, the 53rd chapter of the Quran, whoever was there and heard these ayat, they all went down into sajda. This is mu'jiza lil-Qur'an. This shows ahmiyatul Qur'an. لِأَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ الْعَرَبِ, these Arab individuals at that moment in time, if a person, literally some of the ulama of seerah written, a person can read and recite 10,000 lines of poetry. مَرَّةً وَاحِدَةً فِي دُفْعَةٍ وَاحِدَةً, person can recite 10,000 lines of poetry. وَمَنْ كَانَ حَاضِرًا, whoever was standing there would have memorized all of those 10,000 lines of poetry. مَرَّةً وَاحِدَةً, person recites it once, whoever was there, these Arabs had the eloquence, the skill, the ability to be able to memorize those verses, those words. That's when the Quran came, it began to mesmerize their mind, mesmerize their hearts, because they knew that this is not poetry. This is not poetry. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ, he's not a poet. The Prophet ﷺ is not a poet. He's not known to stand and utter lines of poetry or sit down and write lines of poetry. He's not known for that. This is beyond. He's al-ummi. He is illiterate. He's illiterate in terms of reading and writing, but he's the most literate individual that stepped on the face of this earth. But lughatan, linguistically, he never knew how to read and write. So it was beyond their comprehension. How can this individual come with such words? As you find that the Quraysh used to listen to the Quran, and he used to rebuke one another when he used to come and listen to the recital of the Quran. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَدْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَاعْبُدُونَ أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ, do you marvel at this speech? Just like today, some of us, we can extract this, we just marvel at the Quran. The Quran doesn't have an impact inside our lives. You'll find sifat of certain individuals read the Quran, doesn't go beyond their throats. What does it mean, doesn't go beyond their throats? مَا يُطَبِّقُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, they don't implement the Quran inside their lives. Imam Al-Ajuri has mentioned the rights of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his risalat, one of his works. People of Quran, awwalan, are people who implement the Quran inside their lives. Obviously, there's a beautification. Prophet ﷺ encouraged, مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, the hadith sunan of Abi Dawood. Whoever doesn't try to beautify the recital of the Quran has got nothing to do with us. But you just pause upon this to think that's all that the Quran is a recital. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ, all that you do, you just laugh at it. You marvel at it. وَلَا تَبْكُونَ, you don't weep. The real meaning of the Qur'an, it, a person, يَقْشَعِرُ الْجُلُودِ, it raises the hair of the arms of the individual. It rips open the heart and the mind of the individual. That's what the Qur'an does. That's the impact of the Qur'an. Makes them to begin to reflect upon their life. Whether I'm sticking to al-awamir, Am I staying away from an-nawahi? Am I sticking to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I staying away from the prohibitions? And thus we find that when Aisha was asked about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, about his characteristics, about his behavior, hadith inside Sahih Bukhari that we find, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His characteristics were nothing less but the Qur'an. That was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَحَتَّ فِي سِيرَتِهِ. That you find that when he would walk past and he heard music and singing, he would place his fingers inside his ears, for that none of that would contaminate him. Ulama of Sirah mentioned on two occasions that he had, if you can use this word linguistically, that he had some form of inclination or temptation to see what the Quraysh were doing, to see the nikah, to see their wedding, to see their celebration, to go and visualize it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he protects his anbiya, he protects his messengers, he doesn't want them to see this. Doesn't want them to visualize certain things. Doesn't want them to hear certain things. Unlike our society that we think that today, that a person has to see munkar, person has to be involved in munkar, person has to be part of that munkar. La, kalla. Aslul insan at-tahara. The essence of a human being is to purify themselves, to be a chaste person, to be a good person. Aslul insan, that's the goodness, the right stance of a human being. Person who guards their chastity, lowers their gaze, guards their private parts, speaks well. Hada aslul bashar. That's a real human being. This is what society is teaching us once again. A real human being is one who does these muharramat. It's part of their life. وَإِن تُطِئْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُدِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You follow most of the people around you on this earth, they will derail you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ. هُنَا نَقِفْ in the kalima سَامِدُونَ. That you are busy وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ. السَّامِدُونَ في لغة اليمنية. In the Yemeni dialect that we find, السامدون is music and singing. Because remember that pure Arabic language goes to Ahlul Yemen, goes to the dialect of Yemen. And they've described that السامدون is nothing but music and singing according to the linguistic meaning that we find. Ibn Abbas, he mentioned that the Mushrikun had a habit of singing and playing noisily whenever they heard the Quran. Is what we find is sumud that we find, is the singing and this chanting that we find these people used to carry out at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then we find that this samidun also been described as vain talk and vulgar speech, but all of these are same meanings that we find. The vain vulgar speech that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes inside Surah Luqman that we find in the 31st chapter of Quran, verse number 6. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There's some people who are going to purchase vain, vulgar, idle speech to derail people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَ هُزُوَ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And they take it as jest and play and mockery. For these individuals will be an evil chastisement for these individuals. وَإِذَا تُتْلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا. Look how the Quran describes. وَإِذَا تُتْلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا. When our ayat are recited upon this individual, وَلَّا مُسْتَكْبِرَا. Person turns away in a state of arrogance, of pride. كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرَى. As if his ears have become deaf, have become sealed. Person, الَّذِي يَعْرِدْ عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ. Person who turns away from the Qur'an. Doesn't want to listen to the Qur'an. Doesn't find contentment with the Qur'an. For that individual who find molten lead. Likewise, we've been people of the Qur'an. Person should love the Qur'an. Love the Qur'an that we find. Person should be worried about their lives, about the Qur'an. Because a person who learns the Qur'an doesn't implement it. Look in the hadith of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, will happen to that individual, punishment for that person who sleeps on the verses of Allah. Doesn't implement the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't practice them inside their life that we find. Lahu al-hadith, Ibn Mas'ud mentioned, yukarriruha thalathan. Ibn Mas'ud, in the tafsir of Imam Suyuti that we find, likewise Imam Al-Alusi in his Ruh al-Ma'ani mentions, he says that lahu al-hadith, hu innama huwa al-ghina. Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who is a companion. Companion makes tafsir that lahu al-hadith, huwa al-ghina. Wa yukarriruha thalathan. He repeats it three times, that this lahu al-hadith is nothing but music. And likewise you find, Ibn Abbas mentions, huwa al-ghina wa ma ashbahahu. What is music and whatever is linked to music, i.e. singing and instruments, whatever goes with it, is what Ibn Abbas described. This is the meaning of lahu al-hadith. Al-ghina wal-la'ib wal-lahu. All this is vain speech, vulgar speech that we find that a person could get involved in. And thus we find ulama have extracted three lessons from this verse that we find. firstly singing and listening to songs, is dahw al-hadith. The purchase of musical instruments that we find, whatever forms of musical instruments there may be, is all comes underneath this verse. And likewise, the purchasing of male and female singers, whereby some Muslims try to pretend and say, this is thaqafa, this is culture, this is art, this is fun, this is a skill, this is ability. This goes back to jahiliyyah. Because in the tafsir of this ayah, Imam Suyuti mentions there's a person by the name of Nadr ibn Harith. And Nadr ibn Harith, he wanted to be a person who takes people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did he do? He hired out singing girls. He hired them out and he said to them, sing for them, dance for them, play music for them, pour wine for them, and say to them, this is better for you, adha khair ma yad'uka ilayhi Muhammad min as-salati was-siyam. This is better for you than going out to pray and to fast and to do all these actions. The modern world today, what is it? The drunkenness of music that we find to derail people away, that a massive Muslim youth are involved inside it. Lewdness, promiscuity, this is classical tafaseer. Hiring of singing girls to sing and to dance and to pour wine so people, لِيَصُدُّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to take people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find likewise today, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Person may have their own mistakes, but a person who loves to spread vice, immorality, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. For these people will be severe punishment inside this dunya and likewise inside the akhirah. And this lesson goes out to Muslims. Al-Qanawat al-Fada'iyah, that we find these satellite stations, that we find all types of muharramat, of music playing and singing and dancing that we find. Whoever established this, whoever paid for it, whoever finances it, فَالْإِثْمُ عَلَى الْجَمِيعِ. إِثْمُ جَمِيعُ النَّاسِ. Every single person who comes and gets enticed with this corruption. A personal corruption is a personal corruption. Person sins is their own sin. But a person comes out inside society and begins to encourage promiscuity, lewdness, wickedness, muharramat, for that person would be severe punishment inside this dunya and likewise inside the akhirah that we find. And that's a person should not fall into the trap, as we mentioned, that some Muslims who begin to disguise that music is something permissible, is something spiritually, even those ulama that they begin to disguise or hide behind, whether it be ala ra'sim Abu Hamid al-Ghazali or Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri, that we find even study their works or their explanation in great detail. They're not referring to what exists today amongst us. Even though they went away from the path, they were misguided in this view. There is no, as ulama mentioned, fuqaha have mentioned, there is no ikhtilaf fi musiqa wa raqs. There's no difference of opinion. Don't let people create that image. Difference of opinion remains and is allowed in things whereby there's scope of ijtihad. There's no ijtihad in something which is haram in this manner, described in the Quran or upon the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereby mentioned, لا يكونن من أمتي أقوام يستحلون الحرى والحرير والخمر والمعازف. Hadith في البخاري. They'll come for my ummah يستحلون. يستحلون بمعنى يَطْلُبُونَ أَنْ يُحَلِّلُ الشَّيْءِ. They want to try to make something halal. The hadith is a refutation itself to those people who try to legalize music. يَسْتَحِلُّونَ. The word mentions they try to legalize it. بِمَعْنَا أَنَّ أَصْلُهُ أَنَّهُ الْحَرَامِ. يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَى. They try to legalize sexual relationships, adultery, fornication, girlfriends, boyfriends, try to justify inside society. وَالْحَرِيرَ. لِبْسُ الْحَرِيرِ للرجال, wearing of silk for men. Haram. على هذه الدنيا. Haram للرجل. Haram for a man to wear silk on this dunya. Haram for a man to wear gold inside this dunya. Whoever wears gold and wears silk inside this dunya will be made haram inside the akhirah. Will be forbidden inside the akhirah to wear gold and to wear silk inside the akhirah for a man. And likewise we find then, wal khamr. As we all know, the intoxicants, alcohol is haram. Wal ma'azif. They try to legalize musical instruments. From my ummah, from this Muslim ummah, this blessed ummah, there will be people who try to come to try to legalize it. Look at the corruption of the hearts of some individuals. They say if music is linked with these things, it becomes haram. That's not what the hadith is saying. The hadith is an evidence that most times music is linked with adultery, with fornication, with alcohol. That's what happens most times. It leads on to other things. As ulama, Imam Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadi mentions, Al-ghina qabla al-zina. music and singing comes before zina. It leads on the climax, it leads on till eventually a person falls into that. It's what Imam Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad mentioned about music and zina, the link between it. These are all haram things, that person stays away from it. فِي قُلُوبِ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. In their hearts, there's a sickness, they try to justify it. وَبَعْدُهُمْ, may Allah guide them, try to say that this hadith in Bukhari, فِي تَدْلِيس بِمَنَا عَنَعَنَا, that Imam Bukhari doesn't narrate the hadith clearly from his mashayikh, from his ulama. قَدْ رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ Imam Al-Dhahabi. Imam Al-Dhahabi has refuted this view, that all the hadith inside Bukhari are sahih, are all authentic. If he doesn't mention the names of his teachers, he's mentioned in another location. This in essence is corruption inside their hearts, sickness inside their hearts. They try to make a ta'an fil hadith, try to take away hadith inside Bukhari, try to legalize something which is haram, made haram by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, you find yashrabanna nasu min ummati al-khamr, they'll come from my ummah, people are going to drink alcohol. Yusammunaha bighayri ismiha, begin to give it a new name. Billahi alaykum, spiritual drinks. Muslim women wearing hijab and holding bottles of champagne that are not champagne, but imitating liquor, imitating haram, and saying we're having a good life. Billahi alaykum. Billahi alaykum. No fear, no shame of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَتَّى مَنْ كَعْنَ مُسْكِرًا, a person الَّذِي يَشْرَبَ الْخَمَرْ لَهُ خَوْفٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ, person at times who may drink has some fear of Allah. Fuqah have mentioned a person who may be drinking alcohol with their friend and gives a drink to their friend. What does he say to his friend? اِتَّقِ اللَّهِ, fear Allah. لَلَّهُ يَتَجَنَّبْ, maybe that person may stop drinking. That's what the Sharia says. Not encouraging one another, but this is alan inside our society, that people think that this is part of enjoyment. This is having part of having a good life, that we have what's known as badil. Ya ayyuhal ikhwa, there's no badil. There's no substitute for something which is haram. Haram relationships, you can't say there's a substitute. For music, you can't say there's a substitute. You can't say there's a substitute. Many of these anashid that we find, even hatta ulama al-sufiya. Ulama al-sufiya, if you read their works, for example, Junaid al-Baghdadi talking about music. Hatta Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, you mentioned this sama'a, this listening to this qawali, this music, the modern day music that we find that exists at that time. Kullu haram. Raddu alayhi. They refuted it. They refuted it, said that this is not the way of a Muslim seeking spirituality. But this has become the deception of the devil around us. The people begin to say, think that this is the norm of the people around us. Then you find yusammuna bighayri ismiha. Yu'zafu ala rusihim bil ma'azif wal mughanniyat. On the top of their heads, there will be music which is playing and the female singers singing to them, chanting to them. Modern day ulama of hadith have mentioned that upon their heads will be music which will be playing is none other than their headphones. All day long, that's what people listening to this music, penetrating, infiltrating, corrupting their hearts. While mughanniyat, all that we find, the videos and everything that goes with all this music, nothing but filth and corruption that goes with it, that derails a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَخْسِفُ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the earth to drown, to take these individuals into the earth. وَيَجْعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَ وَالْخَنَازِيرِ, make changes, individuals become like pigs and swines to these individuals. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وأصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, amongst the other أقوال of the رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, other أحاديث the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the علماء have collected to show about the prohibition of music that we find in various wordings that we find, إن الله حرم علي أو حرم على أمتي, is forbidden upon me, upon this أمة الكوبة. Al-Kuba, Sufyan قال قلت الراوي, he says to the narrator, ما الكوبة, what is Al-Kuba? قال هو الطبل, is a playing of the drum that we find. This is what Al-Kuba is. We know the playing of the drum, the duff that we find, is only for women. It's something which is specific to the women or warfare, or certain elements in Sharia is allowed for a person to carry out these actions. And likewise, a side point we should highlight here, that some people try to make istidlal بالحديث الجاريتين, the hadith of the two slave girls that Aisha had there, who were singing some mild songs that they were singing. And the Prophet, he turned away, never paid any attention to them. Abu Bakr came and he entered the house and he said, what is this? The voice of shaitan, the singing is taking place inside the house. And he said, leave them alone. They're only young girls enjoying themselves on the day of Eid. So singing is for women. Even ulama of hadith mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ, he turned away. He turned away. Nothing, something that did not interest him. Left it for the women folk. That's why for them to play of the duff, to celebrate a little nikah, announce the nikah, to play that. For them is something traits of women. For them to do these practices, this enjoyment has been placed for them. And then the hadith continues that she watched the tribe of the people of Habasha performing their acts of jihad in front of the spear throwing, etc., that we find. And she wanted to visualize that. She rested her cheek on the blessed cheek of the shoulder of the Prophet. She visualized that. And he asked her, "Have you had enough?" She said, "That is sufficient." And in other wordings, they find later on she mentioned the only reason I done this, that the women of Al-Ansar could know that I rested my blessed, my cheek on the cheek of the Prophet, that they could begin to feel some form of respect towards me, or be alleviation for her, that the respect they would give to Aisha. Well, ayy hal, that we find the main thrust of the hadith that we find is the use of al-tabal, the use of the duff that we find is something specific to the women folk of this Muslim ummah. Likewise, find al-qinneen. Qinneen is the Arab lute that we find, the flute or any forms that we find. In the hadith of Imam Mustadrak, Imam Hakim, that we find, وَلَكِنِّي نَهِيتُ عَنْ صَوْتَيْنِ أَحْمَقَيْنِ فَاجِرَيْنِ. I've been prohibited from two sounds, the sounds of donkeys. Wicked, rebellious, imbecile sounds, I've been forbidden of them. The first sound that we find is the sound of play and amusement and singing that we find. That person begins to do this excessive singing, and likewise the flute of the shaitan. The flute of the shaitan, and that's what ulama have extracted. Every form of wind instrument, string instruments, percussion instruments, a combination of these today, the piano, whatever it may be, all this combined together is something which is all haram. And likewise, people try to justify the various forms of music, of classical music and this type of music. All music is haram. Because we find that whatever is haram in small amounts is forbidden inside bigger amounts. Even inside al-khamr that we find, there is some benefit. The Quran acknowledges it. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Say there's a benefit inside it for the people. But they sin. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. But their sin far outweighs the benefit you may try to extract from alcohol and gambling. So the harms of music are much more severe that people may don't fail to understand. As you mentioned, you can go and make studies that non-Muslim made the impact of music that we find, especially the modern day music that we find, the impacts on people's lives, of hallucinating their lives, taking away control of their lives, leading them towards, as we mentioned, towards promiscuity, lewdness, wickedness, bad conduct, bad behavior, disobedience towards parents, towards society that we find. No alim, no scholar who may have to listen to these words or see transcripts of these words will say this is something which is permissible. This is some form of spirituality which the masses of the youth are listening or indoctrinated in and following this as a part of their life. And as we mentioned, there's no difference of opinion. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh said that leave the testimony of such an individual that we find, reject his testimony. Imam Malik was been asked about such individuals. He said, إِنَّمَا يَفْعَلُهُ إِنْدَنَا الْفُسَاقِ. People who sing and music, they are al-fusaq. They are wicked, rebellious individuals. Likewise, Imam Ahmad, as we mentioned, said those people are fusaq. They're hypocrites, they're rebellious individuals. Imam Shafi'i, he mentioned that these people are incompetent, fool entertaining individuals, reject their testimony. These people are incompetent, they're not good individuals, not complete individuals, reject the testimony of these individuals. We mentioned that the corruption inside these words. Ibn al-Jawzi, in his works, Talbis Iblis, Deception of the Devil, which he wrote centuries ago, he mentions that singing is a temptation for the soul, whereas fornication is the biggest pleasure of the body. As we mentioned, Imam al-Fudayli mentioned, Al-Ghina Qabla Zina. As we find that it is some element, it enters the soul, then it creates a greater temptation of the body of leading an individual towards a zina. This is not the way of Ibadur Rahman. The Sawtur Rahman, the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what the servants of Allah, they search for. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى أَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَوْمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامًا. They're the ones, when they hear all of this vulgar and vain speech, that's why the ayat, it continues by talking about the sifat of عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ. This is the fourth verse. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. Don't pay witness to false testimony. Once again, ulama have described that false testimony, min ma'ani of zur, is music and singing and whatever is linked to it stays away from it. Person wants to follow Sawtur Rahman, wants to follow the Quran inside their life, as we mentioned, that should be the way of the individual. And a deep study will lead, historically as well, a deep impact between the relationship between music and the life and the history of nations. Direct proportionality between the decline of a nation and the prevalence of lewd art and music in the society. Go and study any society. When you find that a society begins to follow what they claim is an art, they claim is a skill, new drawings, etc. They find music, they claim this is an art, it leads to the downfall of those individuals. Thus we find that even the so-called founder of the Russian states that we find Lenin, he mentioned, one quick way to destroy a society is through its music. A quick way to control society and destroy people is through its music. And as we find, famous poet, he mentioned the lines of poetry, "Let me tell you about the fate of nations. It starts with the swords and the spears, and they are musical instruments in the hands of the people when the nation is on its decline." So we may conquer in the beginning with spears and swords, but look at the decline of even Muslim empires. Look at the Spanish Empire. The Spanish Empire, which was under Muslim rule for 800 years. Go and read historically what was in the hands of the rulers, the emperors at that time. What was in their hands? Was it weapons that initially they entered in? What was in their hands? What were they debating about? Read historically. I don't want to name places and countries and cities and places. Read in great detail. You find the emperors, people who are umara, people who are leaders, people who are kings in their positions, were debating inside their courts about who is the best female singer. Who sings the best? Who plays the best musical instruments? Ya ayyuhal ummah. This ummah isn't based upon this. This ummah isn't based upon these type of discussions to think that this is glory. This is development for this Muslim ummah. This comes amongst the masses and the people who govern us. It becomes the downfall of this Muslim ummah. Obviously, this Muslim ummah, as Ibn Khaldun mentioned, it comes back, rises once again. This Muslim ummah will never be destroyed in its totality. But this Muslim ummah will collapse. Segments will collapse of this Muslim ummah. And what will bring it back once again? Our brothers inside Philistine, the suffering that they're going on. What were they boasting about a few years ago? Boasting because one of the young individuals, he won the song contest. What is this to boast about? Aibun alayna. What's that to boast about? That he won a song contest. Do you think this would deliver us from Philistine? Do you think today people singing about Philistine, well, Iraq, well, Sham, well, Afghanistan, singing about it, talking about it, do you think this is going to alleviate our people? This is going to take away the suffering? This is just a deception of the devil. That some peace, return back to Al-Quran. Return back to Sawtu Rahman. Return back to the Quran, and a person will find that tranquility and find the success of this Muslim ummah once again that we find. And as we find, إِذَا كَانَ رَبَّ الْبَيْتِ ضَارِبًا بِالطَّبْلِ. If the father of the house is busy playing the drum, is busy discussing music, encouraging music, فَلَا تُلُمِ الْأَوْلَادِ عَلَى الرَّقْصِ. Don't blame your children if they become dancers tomorrow's society. Don't blame them. If that becomes our art, that becomes our life, that becomes our profession, that becomes what we aspire for, what the average individual wants to be, then don't complain about tomorrow's society. A Muslim society, a Muslim, has high aspirations. That's where you find the control of the masses is via the music, the industry, the videos, all to control the masses, to begin to deafen them, to make them become dumb, and they have higher aspirations, control over the masses. We shouldn't fall prey to that. A Muslim is from amongst, billahi, with the tawfiq of Allah, amongst the elite people. That's what a Muslim is, elite inside their life by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes over the masses of people. That's what this Muslim ummah should be. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. You're the best ummah ever raised up. What is the sifat of this best Muslim ummah? You order the good and you forbid the evil. That gives privilege to this Muslim ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to practice His words to the best ability, to stay away from this filth and this corruption. Ma dhahara minha wa ma batn, whatever is apparent, whatever is hidden. Inna Allah wa malaikatu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman wa la تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا للقوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله.